All right, everybody, it's Brian. And I often wonder, do people like these pre-show bumpers where it's just me talking about the Patreon? I don't know. But you know what? I don't really care because I like doing them. It's my opportunity to talk a little bit about my point of view, which I never get to express on the show. Any regular listener will know that. Anyway, sign up for the Patreon at patreon.com/late-night. You'll get a video version of pretty much every episode. And also, if you sign up at the $5 a month tier or more, you get mini episodes every week. It's a good time. So enjoy this kind of floppy show, but yeah, it's a good one.
So do we just,
I thought that was the start.
That should be the start. Oh, wait. We're in it already.
We're in it. I don't fuck around. I came to play, as they say, as a Sigma Rizzler myself. I like to get down to business. To brass tacks, as the children have been saying.
Brass phantom tax?
I mean, what can I say, but very nice. Very
thank
nice.
You.
You,
thank you
got that.
All right. Everybody, thanks for listening to the last episode of Late Night with Brian Wecht. I think we can turn it in. You know, you're wearing your Americana brand shirt, and I should have worn my Metallicum shirt that mm-hmm. you gave me. Mm-hmm. Now I wear that not even so frequently, but I wear it enough that now when I see somebody in a Metallica shirt, I'm like, oh, Metallica. Okay, different. Mm.
See, I can't wear mine because it does not work with my body type well.
It does. Okay, it doesn't look good on me, which is why I don't wear it constantly. Mm-hmm. This is why I've switched to the Soul extra large shirt mm-hmm. lifestyle, because then I don't get choked. My chestal region is not, you know, mm-hmm. limited.
Yep. For me, it hugs my sides too tight, which normally I'm very into.
Mm-hmm. That is one of your favorite things.
It's one of my many favorite things, yeah.
You know what is another one of your favorite things?
Oh, do tell.
Is me coming to absurd forms of bodily injury.
Oh, you want to hit this right away, huh?
Yeah, why not? Hit this mm-hmm. right away. Mm-hmm.
For legal reasons, I need to say I do not enjoy it when you get injured. I mean, it's funny. In retrospect,
it's really funny though.
It is very well. This particular incident is great. Well, since you're the aggrieved here, why don't you?
I am the aggrieved. Well, so my birthday was earlier in this month, and my father, who lives across the country, texted you asking if you would take, if you and your family would take me to lunch at Langer's and he would pay for it, which is a very kind offer. But
Langer's, a classic LA deli and an establishment you are known to enjoy.
Yes. And I
am as well.
Yes. We could not quite make a lunchtime thing with your family happen, but we could make a dinner at another establishment with Jory happen. Mm-hmm. So after several weeks of attempting to schedule this, we scheduled it and we went to...
Including one last minute back out by you.
So my dog wouldn't get too hot and die.
I'm not saying it wasn't justified. I'm just saying we had a plan and then, which was confirmed the previous evening, I might add.
Yeah,
and then the next morning, first thing, and I'm not saying it wasn't for good reason. I'm just saying we went from confirmed to, hey, can we postpone? Within, I think it was 12 hours.
Yeah. Well, I had not yet experienced what an evening during the heat wave was like. And mm-hmm. and let me tell you, I feel like, would you not appreciate that I sent that text to you guys at like 5 in the morning the day of?
Better 5 in the morning than 4 p.m. for
yes.
sure. Absolutely.
Regardless, we made it happen. And
we did.
You came and you picked me up, and we met Jory mm-hmm. at Night and Market Song in Silver Lake.
Yeah, a great Thai, but an unusual Thai restaurant in LA.
Yes, it's wonderful. Because it was hot and the sun was going down a little bit and it was a little bit cooler outside, we decided to sit outside at this restaurant, of which there is an inside. And let me tell you, this was partially informed by, if I step into a restaurant and the music is too loud, I don't want to be there. The music was too loud.
Well, we also walked in and Jory put on his mask and you said, would you like to sit outside? And he said, I have a mild preference, which I know enough Midwesterners to know that what that means is I want this more than anything I've ever wanted and will be put out if I don't get it. Now, Jory would never say that directly. And if we sat inside, he would have been fine and kind about it. But he clearly wanted to sit outside. So, because yes. I didn't care. Music was loud. Let's sit outside. They have three tables outside. We sat at one of them.
Yes. And fatefully, fatefully, I choose the side with my back to the street. And so we sit, we look at food, we order some wines, and then you see, because I didn't necessarily see this happen. I saw it happen right before it happened, but you had the better view of what happened.
Yeah. So for if you want to context pick it up. Here. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're at a, what they call in the business a four top, and there are two seats that are right on the curb and two seats that are further in on the other side of the table. Layton sits next to the curb. Jory and I sit on the opposite side. Okay. So there's a parking spot right behind Layton. Amazing. It's actually pretty hard to park in this neighborhood. There's a parking spot right there. Maybe, what, 10 minutes after sitting down? Maybe not even.
It was basically right after we sat.
It was very soon. A Dodge Charger pulls up and backs pretty rapidly into this space, and wall backing up, straight up hits Layton. Layton's chair, the back of Layton's chair, this car is moving pretty fast and goes bonk. And there's a moment like, we're all like, what? And what, I can't, do you remember what you said? I think you said something like, they just hit me.
Yeah, no, my reaction was very much a non-reaction. And the way that I felt it too, is that it tapped me enough to like push the crappy little wooden chair like into my body and push me against the table.
It wasn't like moving super fast, but it was moving fast enough that it wasn't just like a nudge, it was like a push.
Yeah, and it was like loud-ish, as it is when a car hits a person. So all of us are in mild,
we're like, excuse me,
wonderment. And the car is continuing to park. They have not made any indication that they have just hit me.
They stop once they've made some contact because I think the driver sensed that something was going on.
Yeah.
And they pull forward a little bit. The passenger side window rolls down and then rolls back up.
That was my favorite
anything
part.
Happening. Passenger, the window goes down, goes back up.
I think they were checking to see if there were, you know, screams.
Yeah.
And in absence of that,
the car then parks. A young woman with very short hair walks, you know, gets out of the driver's side. And while there's maybe a couple minutes that are happening here, we're kind of like, what's going on here? We're chatting about what just happened. This woman gets out. It's very clear that nobody else at the table is going to say anything. So I say to her, I was like, you just hit her.
This is the angriest I've ever heard you.
And this woman goes, I said sorry. And we're like, what? Not that anybody heard.
No. Okay. I'm glad that it's not just me that didn't hear the sorry, because I really.
Yeah. I said sorry.
The stank on I said sorry. Bitch. Now you say that nobody else would at the table would have spoken up. You jumped in there pretty quick because
she hit you with her car.
I know. No, I'm glad. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I just, you know, I think that the mediating influence of you already came at her kind of hot, because I think had you not, some words would have been exchanged.
She waited. The fact that she waited until she got out of the car was the problem. The moment you think you have, say, hit a human being, you don't wait. I mean, there were a few minutes of like, car's pulling up, it's parking, blah, blah, blah. We've rolled down the window. We rolled it back up. This was not just like a bonk. Oh my God, are you okay? Nope. bonk.
There was no "Are you okay?" at all.
No, not
whatsoever.
At all. Not at all.
Which, when I think about it, if I had hit, and this is what we were talking about, if I had hit mm-hmm. somebody with my car like that on accident, if I even suspect it, it would immediately be hazards. I'm jumping out. Are you okay? I'm so sorry.
Yes, of course. Because who knows what
like
the fuck
happened.
Like a
normal fucking person. And then this couple goes into the restaurant to eat at the same restaurant.
Yeah, so a guy gets out of the passenger side. Didn't love the way they were dressed personally, but I'm not going to attack their personal style. Also, when you have three Rizzlers sitting at a table like us, it's, you know, it's hard to compete with that. And I think they felt a little intimidated.
They just
want to
take you down a peg. Yeah.
100% Layton, couldn't agree with you more. So I think they were already on the defensive. Maybe this was part of their strategy in hitting you. I don't know. I don't want to comment on that.
They hate to
read
see
other
a girl
people's
boss
minds. They really, really do. It's women not supporting other women is what
exactly.
This was a classic example of. And anyway, so this guy gets out, they walk into the restaurant, and we have a conversation like, what the fuck just happened? Can you fucking believe this? This is nuts. Sort
and then
of
you both start insisting that we should go inside.
Insisting, I think, is a strong word.
No,
you
were, because I was getting like genuinely mildly pissed at you guys. I was like, no, we're going to sit out here. I'm the one who just got hit by a car. We're sitting outside.
Jory was more the one instigating the maybe we should move inside conversation. I'm
so
not going to say I disagree.
So we can
with
go
him,
be
but...
with them and stare at them. Just again, if I had done this, if I had even tapped the person, regardless of my plans to eat at said restaurant, I would immediately get in my car and leave out of sheer shame.
Yeah.
To go inside the restaurant is such a move.
I said sorry. Well, they said
sorry. I said sorry. Yeah, when I got home, many shower arguments were had with what I would have said had you not
well,
said something.
Do you want to tell the fine people listening to this what you did say at some point during our meal to the owner, waiter?
Just like that couple, they just came in, hit me with their car, so if you want to spit in their food, you know.
That's the one.
Yeah, which I didn't necessarily mean. I was angling for a free dessert of some sort. That was my ultimate goal. But just let it be known that what I lack in my ability to confront someone with directly, I will be a little cunty about it and, you know, subterfuge.
I thought what you said was fine. However, I would also say there's no way this is the first time this has happened at this restaurant, given where those tables were.
Yeah.
They are all, you were sitting like, if you had backed up a foot, you would be off the curb. You were right there. And when a car parks, sometimes parts of the car hang off, right? It doesn't stop at the rear wheel. There's no way that those chairs have not been bumped into before. This is definitely an issue the restaurant has faced. Now, has a human been hit? I don't know. Usually when people park, they're a little more careful than that. The car did have a long like rear end. Which is nice because that's what I'm into, but it was long on the on the back.
It was a tacky,
no way this
brand
is the first
new,
time that's happened.
Nice Dodge Charger.
This car sucks shit. I hate Dodge Chargers. If you drive a Dodge Charger, therefore I hate you. Of course, is
you're
what I'm
a cop.
Saying. Yep, that's right. Oh, you're definitely a cop. Yeah, this couple had couple energy. They were a cop couple for sure.
Going home and copulating all over the place.
Oh, you know they were.
Which
well, especially
just
with
finding
the fresh,
people for existing in public.
The fresh thrill of almost taking a human life that really gets
a vehicular
gets going,
manslaughter.
You know.
Attempted vehicular manslaughter.
Woman slaughter, please, Layton.
Well, you can't spell woman slaughter without laughter.
Yeah, some of us
funny.
Do like to make that distinction. Yeah, so I watched you get hit by a car.
Yeah, and I was not hurt in the moment. I will say that for the next 3 days, my entire body was sore.
Yeah, you got bonked.
Yeah,
it was in the spine. It hit your spine, right?
Yeah, it was mainly, the biggest impact was the top of the chair into my upper back to the point that I thought I was going to have a bruise. But honestly, the most painful part was because it's like the shitty, you know, like bistro table sets where it's like slats. And, my ass bones were particularly affected by the impact.
And I can't remember, were your shoulders showing? Did it actually hit your skin or?
I don't know.
No, I can't remember.
I didn't have any bruises and I checked.
Okay.
Yeah, it just, I said sorry. Bitch. Well, so that was me getting hit by a car.
Mm-hmm. It was already, you know, this is on top of your recent foot adventures.
Yes. Like,
there's a lot going on.
And as I texted my dad and he responded, like, this is exactly your sort of luck, which is so true. I can't argue with that. That is my exact sort of luck. And speaking of which, this is Late Night with Brian Wecht. Hi, I'm Leighton Gray. I got hit by a car. Brian.
Hi, I'm Brian Wecht. And I have not yet gotten hit by a car.
You've never gotten hit? You have never gotten a little tap?
I have not. Not that I'm aware. I've had cars stop short in front of me when they realize who I am, but I've never gotten hit by a car. No. I've had the thing where you're like crossing a street and someone stops right like a little too late, but not beyond that.
I've been tapped before prior to this.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to run with that at all.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great. Of course, I would never.
Have you seen or heard anyone like get straight up hit by a car? Other than the other day.
Yes, actually. So I'm going to tell the story. The end result is that the person involved was totally fine.
Okay, good.
When I was in college, I went to a small college, Williams College, and there's a main road that kind of goes straight through the middle of campus, the famed Route 2 in Western Massachusetts. And students, as part of our day, would, you know, have to cross this road. And at some point, I think it was the town of Williamstown, Massachusetts, basically was like, you got to cross at the crosswalks and only the crosswalks. Like, cars aren't stopping otherwise, like, cross at the crosswalks. This was my freshman year. They maybe passed the new law, started enforcing it. I don't know. A friend of mine, she went to cross the street, not at a crosswalk, and got hit by a car. Ugh. And not like badly hit by a car, but like knocked on her butt, hit by a car.
Yeah.
And got a ticket because she was crossing not at the crosswalk. So, yes, that's the extent of it. But yeah, she was totally fine. I think had a little bruise, but otherwise had to suffer the humiliation of getting a ticket for not crossing at the crosswalk.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I guess
that's pretty wild.
I've watched several people get hit by cars. Only a couple of them were because I pushed them. But like a few months into moving here, I was walking to get groceries and I was walking home to the intersection that's like right by my place. And I had headphones in and I looked up just in time to watch a jogger get hit and knocked down hard. And I was like the first person there. So it was me and this other guy, you know, calling and taking care of her. And she was fine. She was not horribly injured. But she was like the LA Marathon was the next week. And she was like, am I going to be able to run in that? That's what she was training for. And like, all she cared about was being able to run. So she was a real trooper. And I hated the guy who hit her because similarly to the people that hit me, he seemed to not give a fuck. It was like an elderly man.
This is the crazy part. Like, and I understand, I guess, not from a moral, but from a legal perspective, why you might not want to admit guilt. Because you do hear horror stories of, hey, are you okay? Turns into, you admitted that you did it, and now you're being sued. Okay, I guess. However, how the fuck ever? Check on the person that you just injured. You have to do it. Be careful with your words, whatever. You might, morally, you might, if you think you injured someone, it's your duty to check on them. End of story.
Yeah. So there was that one. And then also the very first concert that I went to, Neutromilk Hotel, a girl got hit right in front of the venue, which is, I think she was fine.
Was it from an airplane over the
over
sea?
Over the sea. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I think the thing that doesn't prepare you is how loud that is.
It's a giant hunk of metal hitting a human body. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get hit by cars. And if you hit somebody with your car, Be a normal human being, please.
Be cool about it. Yeah. This segues, I think, nicely into the first topic I wanted to talk about.
Oh, is the segue going to crash into the topic?
It's going, but it's not going to apologize. And I'm not going to apologize for this first topic, which is, who do you think is the hottest celebrity who's also the worst at sex.
Didn't we already do
a whole episode about this? Not really. Did we?
I mean, the Smash Brothers episode?
No, I wouldn't call those celebrities. Who's the hottest person you can think of who you're sure is bad at sex? I think of Brad Pitt, personally.
Yeah.
I would guess 99% that guy's bad at sex, but gets away with it because he's hot.
I think maybe the net is so wide. I think you could probably pick any hot person and
kind of
hot,
right?
Any hot celebrity, like really, really hot. The first one that came to mind was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't necessarily find him hot, but just, you know, middle-aged women love him.
That is true, actually. Yeah. Well, okay, that's that topic. Great.
Yeah, sorry. I don't have much more to contribute to that. I just don't really care about celebrities and if they're good at sex or not. However, I do care strongly about if video game characters are having sex.
I would say probably the worst celebrity, the hottest celebrity who's also the worst at sex, Mickey Mouse, I think.
Yeah.
I will not be taking questions.
Goofy is a generous lover, though.
Oh, yes, indeed.
You know, Your Honor, I didn't say she was crazy. I said she was fucking goofy.
What is that from?
What's that whole joke?
Yeah.
I don't know. Fuck.
I can't remember now. Anyway, all right. Well, you had some other things you wanted to discuss. That covers my list. Actually, does it? I wrote something else down.
Wow. Somebody posted this joke on r/jokes, which we all know is the fertile crescent of all modern comedy.
Feel like we should look at r/jokes right now.
I think we should.
Okay, that's what we're fucking doing. Hold on. Gonna open up a new window here.
All right. This is excellent.
Now,
this is really great.
As a comedian, I know I'm going to find stuff that I like here. I guess the question is, will I be too tempted to steal it?
Oh, there's a Discord server. All right, I'm going to go top this month.
Oh, you're not going to start at what's the most recent, which is called Screaming Wife and has an NSFW tag?
Oh, no. Oh, top this month. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the problem with this is I'm very reluctant to just start reading these until I've read them, because I feel like on r/jokes, they could really take a left turn in an uncool way.
Yeah. I'll tell you that the title of the top joke this month is "A sexually active woman tells her plastic surgeon that she wanted her vaginal lips reduced in size because they were too loose and floppy."
That's the title?
Yes, that's the title. That's the setup for the joke.
Wow. Well, I hate everything about that setup.
It's a really bad joke, and I'm not even going to read it. Not because it's too crass, just because it's literally not funny, as you would expect.
Right. I went to the dentist for the first time in 5 years. The dentist asked me when I last floss. I told him, "Bro, you were there." Oh, man, I hate this Reddit.
It's dire. It's really dire.
Okay, this one, actually, I like.
Okay.
The subject is just bad.
That's true.
What did the crow say after watching Die Hard?
What?
Yippee-ki-yay. It's okay, I'm not going to read Reddit anymore while we record.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? Are you scrolling through it?
I'm scrolling because I went to top all time and they're worse.
Oh, wait, you got to read some of the top all times then.
The 2016 U.S. presidential election.
That's
the entire fucking joke.
Uh-huh.
How many Trump supporters does it take to change a light bulb? None. Trump says it's done and they all cheer in the dark.
Really? Mm-hmm. Great. Are they all Trump jokes? All right,
no.
We're done with this. I demand that you stop looking at our jokes.
What is a Karen called in Europe? An American.
Uh-huh. All right, we're done talking about this.
All right.
I invoke the divine right of hosts.
Have we invoked that before?
That it's always been on the table. Neither of us has invoked it. And I'm invoking it now to insist that you close the window for r/jokes.
Do you see the twinkle of Reddit in my eyes at this moment?
I guess I don't. Okay, you closed it. I believe you. You couldn't fake that. That's right.
Exactly, yeah. Brian, have you seen the movie The Mist?
In the theaters, in fact.
Really?
Yep.
What did you think of it?
I remember. Now, I have not seen it since it came out, but I have to say, this is a movie that I think about fairly regularly. It definitely, like...
Is it because of the ending?
Stuck with me. No, it actually has nothing to do with the ending. It's more about the monsters.
Really? Okay. Yes. All right.
The ending, I mean, I guess occasionally I think about, but I will often think about that as, whoa, there were some pretty fucking cool monsters in that movie. So I remember enjoying it. It's Frank Darabont, right?
It is, yeah.
Who is in it? It's Thomas Jane, Marcia Gay Harden, right?
Yes. And then a bunch of people from The Walking Dead.
Right. Who with that I don't know very well. But I remember liking this film when I saw it. The Mist, it's a short story, is that right?
It is. It is a Stephen King novella.
There was a, in the 80s, I guess, an adventure game, a computer adventure game based on The Mist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I was not good at and yet played. But yeah, I like this movie. Why? What do you think about it, Layton, as the relevant resident cineast?
Indeed.
I would love to hear your opinion on this.
Allie messaged me like, have you seen The Mist? And I said, no. And then she said, great, then we have to watch The Mist because I watched this movie and I need you to articulate what's wrong with it. So over the weekend, we got on a call and we watched The Mist. Mm-hmm. So I think The Mist is an encapsulation of everything I hate about apocalypse media. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Frank Darabont, so his grimy little fingers are all over that shit. So that's mm-hmm. it's very much his MO. And then naturally, because I'm a hater, I bought the novella and I read the novella, and the novella was great. The movie is a very faithful adaptation of the novella, save for the ending. Mm-hmm. But even the mean-spiritedness of that ending does not save the most turgid pacing out of a movie that I've seen in so mm-hmm. long. It's like the pacing of the movie follows the structure that they tell you to follow when you're like writing an essay in high school of like, mm-hmm. tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them you told them. But it's that for every single plot point where it's like, we're going to have a conversation about the thing that's going to happen. And then the thing that is going to happen. And then we are going to talk about it for like 20 minutes. Every scene mm-hmm. felt like, why was this scene not over 5 minutes ago? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And in the novella, a lot of the dialogue is exactly the same, exact same beats. But in the novella, because it's Stephen King, it moves. Mm-hmm. The movie, you could have told me the movie was 3 hours and I would have believed you. Lots of issues with this. Anyway, I agree. I read giant bugs and was like, oh boy, this is going to look like shit. The CGI is dated, but those designs, love them. They look fucking great.
I believe it's the loading dock of the supermarket. Giant yeah. tentacles come out and rip pieces of flesh off people.
Yeah.
Thought that was great. I love when a giant sucker tentacle comes and gets you. Cool.
Yeah. I think that the tentacle did not inspire confidence upon first seeing it, but then seeing mm-hmm. the other creatures, it was like, okay, I can forgive the tentacle.
Yep. The giant walking monster with bugs or whatever hanging off of it, pretty cool. Yeah. Enjoyed that.
Andre Brauner is great in that movie.
Andre Brauer, R.I.P.
Excuse me.
Yes. That's a like most celebrity deaths, you know, kind of come and go, but that's one that really gets me every time. I loved him.
Yeah.
He was so great in many things, and especially Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It really upsets me and saddens me that he died so young.
Yeah.
I forgot he was in that movie too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a treat. He feels like a real person. Mr. Yeah. Protagonist. Boy, I hate protagonist man. And I'll elaborate. I love when a character is just the main character. There is nothing else going on with them. They are the main character and they're a hero. That's that guy. Also, he paints the opening scene. He's a movie. He paints movie posters and he's got a big painting of the Thing. So when the loading dock garage comes down and slices off the tip of the tentacle, one would hope that if you were going to evoke the Thing and then you have a piece of a monster that's cut off, do the you've got to be fucking kidding me where that Thing is now running around killing people.
That's right.
Instead, it's used as like, you guys don't believe me? Come look at this. Like every single thing that's introduced that could add any amount of tension to this dog shit. Like there's the whole scene where all of the bugs get inside and there's fire and things are on fire. A guy is on fire.
I was like, oh,
good. We're finally going to get out of the grocery store because it's going to be on fire and then they're going to have to leave. No.
Into the mist.
Another thing is that like the sound design is so, it's bad when you notice sound design and especially when you're noticing like a lack of it. That whole scene, there is shit hitting the windows, glass is breaking, there's fire, shit's getting knocked over in a grocery store. The sounds you hear are running and a scream. There's like nothing else going on.
I don't remember that, I will say any of these movies like this where it's like, oh, we opened a portal, I guess the military supposedly, I think there are a couple of throwaway lines about this, into another dimension. I always want to think, and those things are breathing here? Like we're just breathing oxygen like it's normal. What, or maybe that's what the mist is. I don't know. I don't think so. But if humans can survive in the mist, like it's like, what are we doing? Is
that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Suspension
it was a
bad of disbelief. I can deal with that. I remember liking it at the time, but it was a long time ago.
I am ultimately primed to hate that movie. There's no world in which I like that movie. So I, you know, was going in as a hater, but I love Cormac McCarthy. I hate The Road. I love him. That book is just so fundamentally uninteresting to me. And I think it flies in the face of what I like about the rest of his work. And I hate that it's the one that people use as like the introduction to get into Cormac McCarthy, acting like it's the most accessible one, which it's No Country for Old Men is not like harder to read than The Mist or The Road, excuse me. I've never seen The Road, the movie, but watching The Mist, I was like, I wish I was watching The Road.
I saw The Road. It wasn't bad. It was kind of a raunchy comedy with like DJ Qualls and a bunch of other people. But as long as it got Todd Phillips from there to Joker, Foley Adu, I think it was worth it, personally.
I can't argue with that. It's just that when people talk about stuff that's fucked up in The Road, it'll be like, oh, but the dead baby, brother, if you like dead babies, check out the entirety of Cormac McCarthy's oeuvre. There are dead babies in every single one of them, and it getting eaten on a spit is probably the least bad fate that any of the dead babies in Cormac McCarthy's books meet. So this is such a, like, who am I even mad at right now?
I'm surprised you didn't mention, I felt like in The Mist, you know, a lot of people won't say this, but I felt like a real main character in the film was the city of San Francisco, right? The way that you see it so lovingly portrayed with Coit Tower and everything. And, you know, I think it's kind of a, in many ways a love letter to the city of San Francisco. And a lot of people aren't willing to say that.
Are you talking about Zodiac?
I was talking about Vertigo, but...
Where did this come from? Well, I don't quite understand what the joke is.
It's a non-joke that didn't land.
Okay.
I call that a Brian Weck special.
All right, cool.
Yep, and we're keeping it in.
Yeah, of course.
I would never, ever cut out a single one of my extended comedic experiences from this show.
Speaking of Zodiac... Stinker.
I've apologized for those. I don't want to relitigate this here. I made a couple of mistakes. Yes, I'm willing to admit that. But I have been over this and over this and over this in the press. I've apologized to all the people who were quote unquote wronged. and I feel like I should get some credit for a cool code, but people aren't willing to even give me that because of some other things that I did. But anyway, I've dealt with this publicly. I've made my final statement on the matter, and I'm not going to talk about it again.
Brian, do you have your glasses nearby by any chance?
I have a pair of glasses nearby.
Will you put them on? Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Brian Wecht is the Zodiac Killer. You heard it here first.
I prefer the Zodiac Influencer, though. I feel like Killer really pigeonholes me.
Mm.
You know, you kill one person and you're a killer.
Yeah.
Right? I've written letters. I've written books. Self-published.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I have, I'm a good artist. I can draw. I'm really good at drawing. I draw this little thing. It's like a circle with a couple lines through it.
Oh.
Most people can't do that.
Yeah.
I feel like I should get some credit for that.
I think you've gotten some credit.
Some, but people, they're still finding things. Little treats that I left for them. Yep. Okay, great. What do I have to talk about? Did I write anything? Oh, I had an even worse idea.
Oh.
I don't even want to suggest doing this on the off chance that we might consider it, but we could make a tier list for different fandoms.
Oh God, no.
Yeah,
no.
Okay, that was exactly, yeah, that's the reaction I thought. So I figured, because it would make everybody mad, right?
It would, yeah. Well, I think there would be ones that people would agree on, but I think there would perhaps be some controversial.
Is there a fandom that's widely considered to be the worst, or do we not even want to go
that even want to go there, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that any fandom can be bad if it exists long enough.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Or if it reaches a certain saturation point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is simply inevitable.
Well, how about this? What are the best fandoms? Personally, I would say Ninja Sex Parties. But of course, I might be biased. So are there any like notoriously good fandoms that are fun to be a part of and that are widely beloved?
I'm not doing this discussion.
No.
No.
Okay.
We really hit a wall on this one. I feel like we had some great energy in the beginning. We were ready to go on the car crash thing. Now we've had several bits dead in the water, which I will take some responsibility for, but not all. I guess I complained about this to you. Not necessarily complained, but when we were at dinner, this is why we can't see each other in person, because then we waste our good bits when the mic isn't on. But, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube.
But on the
channel,
other hand, you get hit by cars.
But I do get hit by cars.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a lot of YouTube channels that cover, you know, crime or creepy content.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to make impassioned entreaty. I entreat you, YouTubers. Can we get a different type of voice, type of cadence for when we're doing scary content?
All right. What are you talking about, Layton?
I am talking about a certain brand of down talk that every single YouTuber seems to use when they talk about scary and disturbing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are several people that I'm thinking of who do this, but it's just like this whole where I'm just jumping around between videos that are all essentially about the same thing and dragging the same, where it's like, this is a 50-minute video that could have been 10, but we're doing the buildup of like, in the most disturbing part of this YouTube video, like, don't belabor it. Just tell me the thing that you're here to tell me. We don't need to reiterate the point like 50 times of, and it's really disturbing. Stop. Also, this is like, it's such a strange affectation because I've never met anybody in real life who talks like that. And then every single person who makes this type of video talks like that. Why? How did this happen? And I will not cast stones. I know vocal fry and up talk. That's my jam. I know this. Mm-hmm. The, you know, down talk is moving in a bold new direction, but something else, please. Thanks.
It occurred to me.
Uh-huh.
Here. I'm going to read Pride and Prejudice in this voice.
Okay, please.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Did I get it?
No, your voice is too, like, hold on. Hit me with something that I should read in this voice.
Okay. Just a second. All right, I've got something for you.
And also the prerequisite is that...
All right, I'm going to put it in our chat here.
Oh, please, please. Brian, I can't... All right. Okay, fine. Fine. I'll do it. I'm not going to say what Brian sent to me. I'm just going to find it and start reading it. Okay. All right. Hold on. I got to get ready for this.
Okay.
A young man stands in his bedroom. It just so happens that today, the 13th of April, 2009, is this young man's birthday. Though it was 13 years ago that he was given life, it is only today that he will be given a name. What will the name of this young man be? Enter name. And then there's bits, like I can't consecutively read Homestuck right now to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your name is John. Sorry. As was previously mentioned, it is your birthday. A number of cakes are scattered about your room. You have a variety of interests. You have a passion for really terrible movies. You like to program computers, but you are not very good at it. You have a fondness for paranormal lore and are an aspiring amateur magician. You also like to play games sometimes. What will you do? This video is sponsored by Raycon.
All right, great. See,
I'm done.
I thought that was going to be great, and it was. Once again,
thank you.
I've correctly predicted something good. That's great. I feel like those voices, I mean, it's a gradual thing, and then it becomes a trope, right?
It, like, annoyed me doing it. Like, I'm residually cringing from having done it consecutively, because it's the fall off for every sentence. And the most disturbing part is that every single sentence ends the same way.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of a... So often I feel like... I like many scripted podcasts, YouTube channels, etc. I think it's not necessarily a bad thing. However, many of them, the delivery drives me absolutely insane. And it's good content read in a way that does not seem to work for me. So what are good examples of well-read, scripted podcasts or YouTube channels where it's not kind of immediately grating? I feel like it's a general problem with scripted stuff.
Dan Carlin, and I wish that I had listened to Hardcore History recently, because I used to be able to do a good impression of him and I can't anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. The speeding up really quickly and then slowing down and then speeding up and then slowing down. I love that. That's an affectation that I don't mind, because I'm really charmed by it.
I don't actually know what you... I mean, can you give me something? Try to do it.
The thing is that he'll talk about something and then start going really fast, and then he'll slow down. He does that. That's the pattern of Hardcore History. Another, this is not one that I like, but another thing that really gets me is, like, hold on, I'm going to find a neutral, enough time has passed that this will not be nobody who would be alive would be offended by the thing that I am about to do. So I listen to a lot of true crime things. There is a phenomenon where I suspect that whoever is reading the stuff sounds like they are about to come. And they'll be describing, like, the worst thing that you've ever heard. And they're so excited. And it feels completely inappropriate.
Like, they're sexually excited.
Yes. And hold on. I need to find a good, like, chunk of text to do this with. Yeah, it'll be these, like, really polished, overproduced podcasts, and it'll be about something, like, I don't want to name a specific one, but there was, like, one I was listening to recently that was, like, a coverage of a very public child abuse case. And so the host of this show is describing like the awful injuries and trauma that the children have suffered. And they sound so unreasonably excited about it. Like, you ghoul. I know I'm listening to this, but anyway, all right. It'll be like, the Triangle Shirtwaist factory fire in the Greenwich Village neighborhood of Manhattan, New York City on Saturday, March 25th, 1911 was the deadliest industrial disaster in the history of the city and one of the deadliest in U.S. history. Like, stop! What are you doing?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Have some respect. The fire caused the deaths of 146 garment workers.
You know what? It's interesting. I have heard, I don't listen to this genre much. Rachel does, and I've heard this exact cadence in a number of things where it's like, why are you so happy about this?
You're so stoked.
People died. Like, yes.
Yeah. Put a little respect on it.
Things die to make content for you.
Yeah, you know. And then it'll be some slick little, you know, theme song that they got off of, you know, stock website, and it's really dramatic. Like, what? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Anyway, so those are the issues that I have with
but you
podcasters.
Don't want to go too...
As always, my delivery of everything is impeccable and unimpeachable.
Impeccable.
Thanks.
No, that's right. Mine as well. You know, this is... One of the unusual things about this podcast is we do it perfectly. Our bits always succeed. I mean, your yep. I should say your bits. I don't do bits, as we know.
Right.
We have perfect podcasting voices. Mm-hmm. We keep it moving. The pace is great. We look great doing it. It's the ultimate experience.
Yep. I'm not constantly sniffing and coughing and having weird background noise in my recordings. It's great.
To quote The Evil Dead, it's the ultimate experience in grueling horror is listening to this podcast. What's your Evil Dead experience? Are you an Evil Dead person?
I didn't catch them young enough to have an affinity for them. And so seeing them now, I appreciate them, but I don't really like them.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire was really fucked up.
Yes.
It's a big,
I know,
big, important thing. It sucks how we don't get like safety regulations until a bunch of people die during a disaster. And then it's like, okay, well,
or not ever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that this kind of comes around to my pop-in, which we'll discuss later, but, how many of the building fire code things pretty much stayed exactly the same from the factory fire until the early 2000s for reasons we'll talk about, that they just totally stayed the same. It was like we made one change in the 30s and then we built some of the biggest buildings anybody's ever seen, but none of these have changed. It's very silly. And every single time it comes down to, we were trying to save money. If we put these staircases all in the same place in the building and don't spread them around, that's like feet of rentable space. That's like $1 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, who
that's
could
one
argue
of
with that? As people are dying, I'm sure they were like, thank God we saved some money on this.
Yeah, exactly.
What I was thinking, so I have a fifth grader now, and for social studies, they're doing American history, like pre-Revolutionary War history.
Okay.
What is your memory of, what history did you learn as like a kid? Not high school, but like kid.
The Titanic sinking.
Do you remember
sinking.
Any of this?
The Titanic sinking is,
really?
I feel like we learned about the Titanic sinking every fucking year. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. The Titanic looms large.
Huh. I remember we learned like New Jersey history in like fourth grade. And there was a lot of talk of like what Native American tribes were living in New Jersey and that kind of stuff. And then up until, you know, obviously one of the original 13 colonies. So there's a lot of like interesting colonial history in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's pre-Soprano, so we didn't cover that. But we did a lot of, you know, there's a lot of history in New Jersey compared to some of the other lesser states.
Yeah, it's interesting. We definitely learned North Carolina history, but a very sanitized one.
That didn't involve Civil War stuff, for example?
Well, that didn't involve, like, the largest and most violent coup, like the first coup in the United States, which was a racially motivated thing, because Wilmington was, like, very thriving with a black community. And then... No, it wasn't, because a bunch of whites got together and killed everybody. I did not learn a lick of that until I was an adult and was like, we already had a coup here before? What? So they would take us to the little, like, houses, the historical houses downtown, and be like, put on a petticoat. And, you know, here's how they churned butter.
We made toast in front of a fire. I remember that.
Yeah.
They gave us a little toast holder and we put it in front of the fire.
Isn't it cute that you're wearing a petticoat? Don't pay attention to this other stuff that's over here. We don't need to talk about it. Where they're like, and then over here's the slave's quarters. And then over here we have this beautiful architecture.
And if you're 12, you would have been married. You know, or stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So that, that's what we learned. I don't know. We learned the British are coming. The British are coming.
A periodic joke I make to Rachel, which she loves, is still waiting on that dowry. Is your family ever going to come through with that? She loves it. She likes it when I say cool things like that.
Then she claps.
She claps and she says, another successful comedy styling from you, Brian. Man, you sure are funny.
Yeah. Well, wait, so you brought this up. What's Audrey learning?
It's nothing that objectionable. She's just learning they were doing the, it's like 1750s-ish type history, like French and Indian War type stuff, which... I don't remember covering till later. Why they're starting there exactly, I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. They have social studies once a week. Still don't understand why it's called social studies. Never have, never will. Why not just call it history? But maybe they do broader stuff. I don't know. I was about to
reference several things, such as the Holly Smoot's tariff and the Teapot Dome scandal, but I realized those are early 20th century, so obviously my history education did not, you know.
Am I correct? Hold on. Holly Smoot tariff, is it 1930?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, baby.
Can you get Teapot Dome?
Teapot Dome, I believe, was during the Harding administration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Teapot Dome... Let me think about this. I have to remember. I'm going to say, when was Harding? Because Roosevelt was 32.
You have a span of 3 years that you can hit here.
Yeah. I'm going to say 1826. Mm. Sorry, 1926.
21 to 23.
Fuck. That's when Harding was. I couldn't remember because Coolidge,
Great job hitting Harding, though.
Yeah, I remember because he had a bunch of scandals, and that was one of them. And I couldn't remember when he was. Yeah, I guess he was pre Coolidge. It went Harding, Coolidge, Hoover. Is that right?
Brian, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. I get most of them presidents, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
This is humiliating. I was writing something and I looked at a map of the United States and realized that I had not like really looked at where states are in a very long time. And not that I can point out anything in particular, but looking at it, I was like, whoa.
you know what is a good challenge? I believe it's a Sporkle quiz. It's a no outlines, find the state map quiz. So it's a map of the U.S., no state outlines. It'll tell you the name of the state. Click where that state is.
Christ. Pressing.
I also love Sporkle. And
Ohio. Like, yes.
You got Ohio. Ohio's easy because it's right below the little bloop in Lake Michigan.
Oh, this is immediately humiliating.
Which one?
Illinois. Idaho. Oh. Okay, I know Idaho. I got Idaho.
You can get. Think of where Chicago is. That's why Illinois is easy.
Yeah. Oh, I got Massachusetts, North Carolina, crushing it. Georgia.
Georgia's easy.
I didn't click Georgia. I clicked right next to it.
Too far to the left?
I clicked too far to the left, which is so fucked up.
You got to stick to the coast on those.
I know. I know where Georgia is, and I was just like, aha, there it is. Nope. You know which ones always fuck me? What?
Wyoming always fucks me.
Well, yeah, because it's one of the squares.
Yep. Missouri always fucks me.
Fuck.
Obviously, anything like on the perimeter is okay, pretty much.
I need to stop.
Although with Idaho, you got to be a little bit careful because you don't want to try to get in that narrow little band.
I know New Jersey.
Right there. Hell yeah, you do.
Maryland. Fuck.
See, isn't this a good quiz?
I have to stop. I have to stop.
It's a good one, right?
It is. Yeah, that's humbling.
Mm-hmm. Another tough one is, you know, name all the countries in any continent that's not North America. And South America is pretty easy too, because there's not that many. But once you get to Europe or Africa,
yeah,
there's a lot of countries there, and it's very easy to not name them all.
There are a lot of countries there.
Yeah, that's famously, there are a lot of countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. School. I totally remember a ton of it. I do remember in learning about the presidents, I think I was in not second grade, maybe second or third. We did one of those things where like you make, it's a paper and then it's like mm-hmm. a coat and you open it up and you put your essay in there and the rest you make like a crappy mm-hmm, little, you know, arms and legs of the president. And I got assigned Nixon. and so we
still
did
your
those,
idol, I think, right?
My favorite. But I the bit here is that I wrote so much about Nixon that like when you opened up the flap, it was supposed to be just one page, but I had like a several fold down thing.
There's a lot to say. A lot happened.
A lot did happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm lucky. I was born, and this is you know, not many people can say this. I was born during, I was born in 1975, Leighton. Who was president when I was born?
I don't know.
Gerald Ford.
Ah, okay.
I was born during the Ford administration, which was a special little sliver of American history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just missed, I just missed the Carter administration.
But congratulations.
Thank you. I do try.
Well, is it time to do segment? I know we cut out a big chunk of this because it was boring, but
I think that's good. I don't have much time to edit this week anyway, so I think it would be good to do some seggies, some segs as they call them. Yeah, egg. Let's have segs. That's how I'm going to say it from now on. Let's have segs.
I'm sure.
Segs. Ninja Segs Party.
Oh, that's good, though. Have you guys made that joke?
I'm sure at some point, yeah.
Let's have segments.
Let's have segs. All right. Well, this is a real treat today, folks, because, you know, is this going to be an all-timer late night episode? Almost certainly not. Is it going to be in our top 50%? Also doubtful. Bottom 25? Maybe that would be. You know what we should try to do? One time we should try to do the worst episode of the show we've ever done.
On purpose?
Like in the ranking on purpose, yeah. We should try to do the worst episode.
Well, we have talked about dueling soundboards, and I think that would pretty easily be it, but
I disagree. I think that would be really good.
Yeah.
I think it would be really good. The problem, of course, is when you try to do the worst, you can't do the worst.
And accidentally we do the best episode of the show?
The worst episode, it's like the most unwanted song, which we've discussed.
Yeah.
Like the when you're trying to do something bad, often that means you're making choices, and choices are usually interesting. The things that are not good are like boring, you know, segments that don't go anywhere, which we did a couple of this episode.
Revealing how ignorant you are of basic historical facts about our country and nation. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also that. Guests that don't quite gel, which we haven't had too many of. You know, it's hard to do bad stuff on purpose. But luckily, with this first segment.
Yeah, we're just effortlessly mediocre.
I couldn't agree more. Although I like to think I put some effort into being mediocre. You know, as a middle-aged white man, I try to fail upward and so far have been fairly successful.
Congrats. At that.
You know, I hitched my wagon pretty early on to a star. and have just been pulled along, you know, through the entertainment industry for the last 15 or so years. Famously, as people know, in my own artistic projects, I contribute nothing. I just kind of chill out and let other people, basically, they do the work, I cash the checks. That's the way it works. And it's a good life, and I deserve it. I deserve everything. I get paid and more. I, you know, I'm coasting, baby. That's
coasting.
What I do.
That's the dream.
Coasting and hosting right now, you could say.
Host to host AM, host to host PM.
I do like that. Yeah. Like Tylenol PM, because they both have PM. Right?
Why have we not done like a coast to coast episode yet?
I would really like to do that, actually. I would really like to do that.
And, man, I wish I had a dialed in George Norrie for you, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. I wish you could do it. You are actually surprisingly good at impressions. When you do it well, you really do it.
Thank you. That is so kind.
Yeah.
I think
yeah, please.
We talked about that, I guess, when we were hanging out with Jory. Just I envy a cis man's vocal cords and the ability of like the minimal effort impression to get basically anywhere. I truly wish that I had that dialed in, but.
No.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at impressions myself. Mm-hmm. Give me someone and I'll do them.
J.K. Anybody. Simmons.
Hello. I'm J.K. Simmons. Got it. Another one,
God,
please.
Like
I should say
eerie.
I do it, but I don't do it. You can't. I don't do the inflection or the tone of their voice, but otherwise
right.
It's a perfect impression.
Gallagher.
Good to meet you. My name is Gallagher.
Joe Rogan?
Hi, everybody. Joe Rogan here.
Brian Wecht?
Now, interesting. This presents kind of a philosophical conundrum, right? Can one do an impression of themselves? And I think I can. Hi, my name is Brian Wecht. Does anyone want to talk about science?
But you're doing an impression of other people doing an impression of you.
Oh, that's my real voice. Sorry, I tone it down when I'm on the air, but that's my, I turned off the filter.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Let's see. Who else can I do an impression of? Anyone else you want me to hit so we can really jackhammer this bit into the fucking ground?
Nancy Reagan.
The fuck? You know how she said that all the time?
Yeah, that was her catchphrase.
Good pull with Nancy Reagan.
Thanks.
An influential figure of my youth.
Oh yeah,
the reason I know
you had this all the
drugs.
Centerfolds of her on
all
your,
the, yep.
on the walls.
Mm-hmm. All the centerfolds. Yep, that's right. I had much like Binium's story on our last episode. For me, that was Nancy Reagan. Yeah,
cool
I just
lady.
Said, I just said no to not jerking off to pictures of Nancy Reagan.
It's what she told you to do.
Constantly. Our first segment is our pop culture recommendation segment. This is where you get to, Layden, describe. I like it when people do that, just randomly throw in someone's name.
Yeah, no, it's like what a teacher does when one particular person isn't paying attention.
Yeah, that's right. It's also the kind of thing, when people do that, I feel like they, it feels like a little calculated, perhaps.
It's like oh, somebody
told,
read.
Like, this is, yeah, it's like how to win friends and influence
yeah,
people.
Yeah, somebody read the 48 Laws of Power and is testing it out.
I like it, Layden, when people, Layden, use someone else's name, Layden, so much so that, Layden, it feels like, Layden, they're kind of fucking with you, Layden. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And sometimes, Layden, what they can do, Layden, is mispronounce it once every once in a while, Layden, they can mispronounce it. And it's a form of negging, Layden.
Yes.
Right? When you just mispronounce someone's name, especially with an unusual name like yours.
You're exactly right, Brianne.
Layton. I was thinking about it.
Layton.
Layton. Hello, Layton. They don't.
I almost reached down and picked up the very kind gift that your wife and child gave me, but then realized I can't show that gift. But
oh, that's true. But I can tell you, I attended an event yesterday with that selfsame wife and child, and someone brought her girl gamer bag with her, with all her little stuff in it, and was wandering around with her little girl gamer bag.
That makes me happy.
And very proud of herself, yes. It was a somewhat fancy adjacent event. And,
even better.
She dressed up and had her little gamer girl bag. It was very cute.
Wow. Does she still have the little Triforce necklace I gave her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Crushing it.
Indeed. Well, the segment that I was talking about briefly is our pop culture recommendation segment, Layden. And this is an opportunity for you to, and I realize I keep interrupting myself. I want to actually address something here. On Las Culturistas, they had a guest on recently who's, I don't think so, honey, was people saying important, like important. And like, this is very important. And I was like, I've never heard this before. Have you ever heard this before?
No.
People say important. No one I know has heard that, but Matt and Bowen were both like, yes. Oh, that's so annoying.
Okay, they clearly both know one person who says it like that.
I guess, right? But I was like, who says that?
As with any broad complaint on the internet, if it's ever like, you people who think blah, 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 they're talking about one bitch in their life that they just fucking hate. That's anytime there is a broad
yes,
generalization because people don't know how to make a comment about something without turning it into a greater
a universal
social
principle.
Ill.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. I also like one of my favorite things internet people do is they're like, well, all right, people were asking for, which is code for I wanted to do.
Yeah, I
right.
got
Everyone's
one message.
Been coming ask for me and asking for a lyric video for this, so here it is. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one asked for this. You wanted to do it. Own your desires.
That's right.
Yeah, cop up to it, you fuck.
You can do a thing just because you want to. By the way, have you heard the phrase, anyone in the wild say the phrase, cop a feel recently? I have not.
No.
Feels very outdated, right?
It does. But is there a new version of cop a feel?
Well, not since ACAB, because you can't say it. Anymore.
Right. Now,
what
was it? Multiple times watching The Mist, the way that I felt about that movie was that there were skill checks in the making of that movie constantly. Mm-hmm. And every 5 minutes, The Mist hits one skill check, great skill check. And then it is missing every other skill check throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there were multiple phrases in that were like, man, people only ever say this phrase in movies. And now I can't remember what they were.
Look out, it's The Mist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they mm-hmm. say that in every movie now.
Yeah, look out, it's The Mist. Anyway, you get to talk about a piece of pop culture, a book, a movie, a video game, a what have you. Something's going on with your hair, and I'm not quite sure what, but...
I fixed it.
You can... Okay, great. I just want to make sure you were ready. Sometimes you're not ready for this segment, and I like to make sure... I try to give you enough time to get ready for these things, but I know sometimes unexpected...
I'm emotionally
unexpected
prepared.
...occurrences happen. That's the least of my worries. Sometimes things come up where you need to prepare yourself more than you already have, and that's fine. That's fine with me. Of course, I understand. The name of this segment is What's Poppin', and the theme song goes here.
What's poppin'?
What's poppin'? Now, people come up to me, and they say, we really liked that last episode with Bidium where I played the two theme songs at the exact same time.
Yeah, I was about to say the same. I fucking loved that.
Honestly, I thought it was pretty cool. I've never done it before. May never do it again. I don't know, but I enjoyed I did actually, little behind the scenes thing here. I time stretched What's Poppin' to fit the Peaches and Lemons a little bit. So they were not just played straight because I wanted them to overlap a little bit better.
Well, nothing on this show has ever played straight.
No, that's right. God forbid. Layton, what's
only
poppin'?
God forbids.
Mm-hmm.
What's popping for me are three different pieces of 9/11 related media, because you know we celebrated our great nation's holiday, 9/11, over
which
the past.
I've apologized for, and I'm not going to get into here again. But it may, okay, I'm sorry. There, I'll say it once more. Please continue.
Wow. Nobody ever forget that. So there are two books. One is 102 Minutes, which is an oral history that takes place solely from the perspective of people who are in the towers. And then there's The Only Plane in the Sky, which if you were going to read one of the two books, I read both of those books in a 48-hour period. And if you had to pick one, I would say The Only Plane in the Sky, because mm-hmm. it is a much more comprehensive view of everything that was going on that day. Both really excellent oral histories, though. And then as the supplement to that, there is the National Geographic One Day in America miniseries, which is like hours upon hours. It's like the new big, you know, for years it was always, I always forget the name of it, but the one that's like, here's all of the footage from people on the street put together. This is like sort of an updated version of that, with lots of like interviews. Really good. Lots of footage that I had not seen before. But all three of those things, very interesting and sad and moving. And yeah, so if you're interested in learning more.
Do you have any memory of this from when you were like four?
I remember getting picked up from kindergarten, but not why or how or anything else about it.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in Jersey, New York,
I was in Santa Barbara, California. I was really? On a visiting program during grad school. And I remember getting a call from my father that morning, who was like, your sister's fine. Cause my sister was working in Manhattan. And he's like, she's fine. I was like, why? What happened? And that is how I found out that something was going on. Cause it was still, it was like early California time that anything happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was in Santa Barbara on a visiting program.
Plausible deniability.
I was very careful to turn in my written alibis. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, anyway, that's what's popping for me. Really exciting, fun, you know, good falling asleep material, which is what I was doing last night. And
oh, you
also
could read it in your voice, the voice you hate.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The One Day in America, the whole thing is on YouTube, by the way. So if anybody wants to watch that, it's really well put together, especially because it... Yeah. Interviews people who like there's the one newscaster who does the whole like take two and up here we can see that you know there's debris and whatever and then as they're filming that take the tower collapses but they and there's like a lot of footage from that guy and his cameraman but they interview him in this thing so it's him talking about it and you see the footage. It's really well done, horrifying but well done.
Yeah, I can't watch that stuff. You know, I'm from the area. I have friends who died in the towers. I mean, not friends so much, like people I went to high school with, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to look at any of that stuff.
Of course not. You shouldn't. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, what's popping?
I actually have a number of things. Should I just do them all?
Yeah, I did a couple.
You did a couple. Number one. I talk about puzzles occasionally on the show. People are like, what kind of puzzles do you do? Very good example. Constructor Mark Halpin, H-A-L-P-I-N, puts out a puzzle set every Labor Day. And he has one out this Labor Day. Just Google Mark Halpin puzzles and you'll see it. And it's really fun. He's a great constructor and it's just free to download. And some of them are challenging. Some of them are pretty straightforward. They're awesome. So go to Mark Halpin, and he has years and years of these. He's been doing it for a long time. I just highly recommend looking at them because they're just great. They're well designed. This year has kind of a Greek mythology theme. It's not crucial to knowing that to solve the puzzles. It's just kind of a framing, but it's great. So that's one. Number two is I, on the recommendation of a friend, started watching the comedy drama. Series Kevin Can F Himself, which is, I actually don't know if I would go so far as to say it's great yet, but it is, if nothing else, interesting. Do you know anything about this show?
No.
So it starts out like a King of Queens type sitcom with a Kevin James type figure. Eric Peterson, I believe, is the actor's name. And it's a, you know, like a three camera sitcom, brightly lit, laugh track, all that stuff. And, you know, it's a dude and his dad and his best friend and his wife. And then the wife walks out of the living room set into the kitchen. And now we're in like single camera Breaking Bad style, you know, dimly lit, like realism. And it is no longer a sitcom. It is basically a AMC drama. And it, anytime, you know, it cuts back to where the husband is, he's the center of attention and it's a sitcom type thing. And then the wife, played by Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek, who is fucking awesome, is anytime it's on her perspective, we're doing the AMC thing. And it is, you know, it's sort of a riff on sitcom misogyny. And I am only a few episodes in. It is at least compelling and an interesting thing to watch. Can't tell if I'd say like, this is amazing and I love it yet, but it is definitely worth watching.
It definitely looks interesting.
I've never seen anything else like it. I can't, for me, it is not yet like cohering. And in part because of what it is, maybe it's not supposed to. It is just these rapid tonal shifts. But it's worth watching.
Okay. On AMC?
On AMC, and they just put it on Netflix here, which is when I started watching it. And also, speaking of Netflix, I watched Chaos, the kind of magical realism Greek mythology series starring Jeff Goldblum as Zeus. And
I've not heard about this at all.
The first season came, apparently it's been in production for a while by the person who did, I think, The End of the Fucking World, whose name I forget, Charlie Koval, maybe? I should have looked this up. But it's got, you know, it's Jeff Goldblum as Zeus and Janet McTeer as Hera and a bunch of other great actors who show up in various capacities. I think it starts out great, takes a fucking nosedive towards the end, but is at least fun to watch Jeff Goldblum play Zeus. So I don't think it quite lives up to the promise that it establishes early on, but I enjoyed watching it, except towards the very end where I was like, okay, this is not going to resolve in a way that I like.
Okay.
But it's at least interesting. And
yeah, I do like seeing Jeff in a little tracksuit. That's nice.
Yeah, and he's great. He's doing great. He's fun as Zeus, and he, you know, Zeus is a vain asshole, and he's you know, he does that very well. And he's not Goldblumming it up the way he does sometimes, but he's still Jeff Goldblum, and Jeff Goldblum's always fun.
Neat.
So those are my three pops.
Wow, three whole pops.
Yep.
All right.
Me popping you and you popping the floor.
Huh?
You know, you ever heard that? There are going to be two hits. Me hitting you and you hitting the floor.
Yes.
Yes. Like all my best bits / jokes / experiences, I had to explain it.
Yep. All right, it's time for our final segment, which is three parts gratitude exercise, one part petty grousing. The name of the segment is Peaches and Lemons, and the theme song goes here.
Peaches and lemons. I'll Lem first.
Stanislaw Lem?
If you want. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead.
My lemon is child arguing. It's like, okay, Audrey, you're allowed to agree with me on some things. I'm not wrong about literally everything. And we're getting to a point where she's at an age where it's like, okay, we don't need to like call parents out on every single possible technicality that would involve them being wrong. I know it's a natural thing for a child of around 10 to do, but it's like, oh my God, honey, can you just admit that maybe I'm right about this like one thing?
It sounds like this is potentially also compounded by the fact that your child loves swearing.
It's slightly compounded by that. It's also very funny when she swears, and we do everything we can to, well, we actually encourage it quite a bit, but
you do, yeah.
It is very funny, but also it's just like the arguing, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, this happens a lot. We play Super Mario Wonder together quite a bit, which is very fun. But it's like, honey, if you have the crown, you're in charge of the cameras. So you got to tell me where you're going. I did, honey. You didn't. You actually didn't say anything. I did. You didn't hear me. And I'm like, Audrey, I'm next to you. You didn't say anything. Okay,
I said sorry.
Yeah, I meant to. And it's like, okay. Yeah. It's just, the arguing is a little out of control these days. And she's a great kid and very smart. And so also able to argue anything she wants fairly vociferously and with conviction. And when she's just plain fucking wrong about stuff, it's like, honey, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're just wrong about this one. But you
that is
say
definitely your
way.
Child. This is, mm-hmm. I feel a bit of you reaping what you sow here, Brian.
I have no idea what you're talking about, of course.
Of course you don't. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yep. Please.
My lemon is a general, not ideological, philosophical, perhaps, lemon, mm-hmm. in that in regards to technology, we've made many great strides. We all walk around with very powerful computers, cameras, GPSs, etc. in our pockets. I want to go back a little bit. I want to have bespoke devices, a device that does one thing. Mm-hmm. The iPod, a point and shoot camera, a Kindle is a good start. And yet, or even just dumbing a phone down, like a regular, no one has nailed dumb smartphone yet. We've got a lot of contenders in the
true.
Ring.
I agree with you,
they're all boutique, insanely expensive. You're paying a premium to make your life worse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love me a little gadget. Looking at light phones, it's like, are you high? Do you,
yep,
like,
100%.
This does not work. There are folding flip phones that run on Android, like the Galaxy Folder. And I'm not talking about a kind of phone like I have. These are, of course, region locked in Asia. If you want to get an iPod equivalent, let's say that you just want a device that only plays Spotify, which is what I've been wanting for years. But Leighton, you say, that device exists. It's called a Mighty. It's a piece of shit. It doesn't work. That thing has gone through multiple generations. Every single generation, everyone hates because it doesn't fucking work. So my lemon is just this is what happens when you drink cherry Dr. Pepper while you're and similarly, I'm like, okay, well, what if I want to get like a good MP3 player in the year 2024? Can I just get like an old iPod and load it up? Not necessarily.
Not really. No.
If you want to get a modded one, you're $500 in the hole for a thing that your phone does already. In the hole. You could get a DAP with really high fidelity streaming audio or whatever. That's $500 to $2,000 for a little device that does exactly what your phone does. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck can we just go back a little bit? How has nobody figured this out yet? If Spotify just discontinued car thing and they're bricking the devices and not making them open source. Spotify, make an iPod that only plays Spotify. You will make billions of dollars. Just do that. Make it reasonably priced. I'd buy it. Everybody would buy it. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I want to go back. Mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't do that lemon justice because
like,
I feel
it's like
strongly.
Season three
about this.
Of Lost in here. We want to go back.
Anyway, I just want a little device that's cute, does the thing it's supposed to do, and isn't $1 million. This rant brought to you by. Do you know what an Alpha Smart is?
Besides myself.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was like a 90s, early 2000s. It's just a keyboard with a teeny little screen. And in school, everybody would get an Alpha Smart and you would write a paper and then you put it on a USB stick and put it in the computer. It's basically like a little digital typewriter.
Oh, this thing. Yes. I've seen
this. Yeah. And so I've been looking at, you know, modern digital little typewriters. And there's a company called FreeWrite that makes a bunch of them. If you want to get a FreeWrite Traveler, which is a lovely looking little device that has, it's like a little clamshell, e-ink screen, keyboard. That thing is $600.
This fucker's $600?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And if
what?
You look at the other things that they have one that's even bigger and bulkier and is even more expensive.
Crazy town.
I mean, what?
Wow.
I am a sucker for a little expensive bespoke device, but that's insanity.
Yeah,
I'm this close to buying a $50 Alpha Smart off of eBay just because, you know, and I was watching video reviews of the Traveler. There are no arrow keys, so you can't go up
what?
And down within your text. Yep. There's no, you can't copy paste. And also
what?
There's, because it's e-ink, it flashes when it updates. So it like, is there's lag. For a $600 device. All right, now it's time. Now it's time for Peaches.
There we go.
Who wants to go first?
I'm happy to go. Let me look mine
go
up.
Ahead.
They're right here. Peach number one, going to Minneapolis this weekend for a wedding. So that's going to be fun.
Love it.
I think I might see the one, the only Bill Childs. So, which will be great.
Give
We're
him a hug
in the
for
process
me.
Of making plans right now. I will. Peach number two. I went to a new dim sum place this weekend and really enjoyed it. Dim sum place is called NBC Seafood in where exact? Alhambra adjacent, somewhere over there. Really good. Really good cart style dim sum. Fucking awesome. I love cart dim sum. Audrey, that child ate 6 pork buns in like fucking fast too. This kid loves
wow.
pork buns. Yeah, the sweet kind, like not the kind that's open on top. It's like a full thing with like
oh,
a little
yeah,
honey
yeah,
glaze.
Yeah.
Oh, she devoured them. It's awesome. So that was great. I haven't been to cart dim sum in a long time since COVID. So it was nice to be back in a great dim sum place. We're debating now. You know, next year is a thing is happening because I will be turning 50. So
wow.
what are we doing for my 50th birthday? I mean, I'd like to do something that is inconvenient for most people coming.
Mm-hmm.
And most people I know don't live around there. So that'd be nice. It'd be a good way to inconvenience all my friends.
I would love that.
So, yeah. So maybe I was like, oh, they have a function room. Good dim sum.
A function room. Okay.
I love a function room. I love doing a function. Some of my favorite functions include sine. Logarithm, arctangent. I love a function. And they have a room full of them.
Wow.
Layton. Yeah. And my final peach is I was back to school last week. And I went to back to school and I got to meet Audrey's teacher for the first time, which was great. Finally putting a face to a name. And it's just nice to see, you know, like many schools these days, if you want to be on campus, it's pretty locked down. So you have to like... you can't just walk onto a campus in the middle of the day. So I got to see her classroom and meet her teacher. It was great.
So. Excellent. I'm glad that it's going well.
It is going great. She loves this school. She's having a great time. She's also
doing
a little like chess after school activity, and you know which board she's using like when she gets home. Yeah.
I love that. That makes me very happy.
Yep.
All right.
Peaches.
My peaches, number one peach that I got dinner with Hugh and Jory, which was delicious and fun. And aside from getting hit by a car, pretty great. My second peach. Yeah, it was so good.
Actually, I had that cow soy for breakfast this morning.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. I'm sure it was even better.
Honestly.
What is today? Monday?
It's Monday. So we're a few days out. It was like, if I don't eat it today, I got to throw it out. So. I ate it today.
Delicious. The little ice cream with the chili flakes on it with the roti.
Very good.
Amazing. Yeah. The mango sticky rice with that absolutely fire mango.
That mango was like incredible.
I want to know where they're sourcing those mangoes. My second peach is that I reread Stephen King's Misery, which is a book that I reread annually, but hadn't reread in a while. And in reading it, I discovered that in one of my favorite books, there are multiple references to one of my other favorite books that I had not yet read the last time that I read Misery. There are multiple references to John Fowles, the collector in Misery.
Oh, interesting.
Including like one of the final like section header quote for the last part of the book is from the collector. So that was exciting for me. And then my third one on a similar note is that I spent most of the weekend reading and writing on a thing that I'm working on. And I hit a zone yesterday where I was fucking cooking. It's, you know, getting your brain to cooperate a lot of the time is very difficult. I also have a lot of different work obligations going on right now. And so hitting the zone on this particular project where I was just like, and then this, and then this, and then this, it felt great. It felt really good. And I'm still kind of riding that high today. So
that's
great. Those are my three peaches.
I love it. Yeah. And that's another high octane podcast for you
folks.
That
might be what you get. Thank you for listening to this episode of Late at Night with Brian Wecht, one of the most disturbing. You can
Do it.
Follow us on Patreon at patreon.com/lateatnight for weekly minisodes and more.
Talk about how gruesome our podcast is.
The most disturbing part of the podcast is when two of the hosts were found podcasting in a disturbing fashion. One of the creepiest things about the podcast was never knowing how to end it. This is the end of the show. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Late at Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/lateatnight. Follow us on Twitter at @lateatnight, on Instagram at @Leighton_night, or email us at lateatnight@gmail.com.